Bertemu kembali, My Fintech Week yang berlangsung minggu ini membawa diskusi topik sektor kewangan yang menerapkan teknologi dan juga digitalisasi. Ini juga termasuk usaha ke arah amalan kelestarian dalam perbankan dan adaptasi digital dalam sektor kewangan yang semakin sengit. Bagi membincangkan topik ini, kita bersama dengan pengarah urusan dan ketua pegawai eksekutif kumpulan Hong Yong Bank, Dominic Fuda, yang bersedia pada ketika ini. Dominic, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning. First of all, you set a vision of delivering a digital first offering to consumers where HLB accelerated the digital innovations to bring business efficiency and cost optimization and contribute towards building a cashless society. Share with us the journey and how has it been so far? What are the costs involved, financial or non-financial, and the human talent readiness to make this work?
Firstly, good morning and thank you for having me. You know, it's been quite a, from hindsight, it's been quite a fortunate pivot that we did back in 2016, where we set ourselves the target to become a digital bank with the tagline, if you like, of being digital at the core. As the pandemic hit us a couple of years ago now, you know, we were quite fortunate that we had made a number of investments and we have pivoted a lot of our operations to be digitally ready. So it was quite a smooth transition once with the pandemic hit, we had to work from home and so on. The transition that we wanted to make, really it pivoted around two key areas. One was internal to the bank, the way we work, the way we collaborate, the way we interact with one another, the way we do things with our partners. And lastly was the way we provide products and services to clients. The first part of the journey was really to show our people, transform the culture, transform the skill sets, transform the way we go about doing business, which required the shift in the internal operations. The second was the way we interact with clients, which needed the products and services to be digitized. Many of them needed to be rethought and center around the customer journeys and the needs of customers. It required, as you said, it's a journey. So it required a number of years of investments. And secondly, it really requires a change of mindset, which, as you know, to change mindset and change culture, build skill levels in people, it is a multi-year endeavor. The journey so far has been quite good. We've made a number of investments. The pandemic was a proof point. They have paid off, as you can see, even from our financial results. We have shifted quite a number of the expenses from the traditional, you know, maybe rents or people in branches, to more digital or technology expenses. But a lot of them have paid off, as we have been able, even during the pandemic, to provide seamless customer experience, whether it was to do with the moratorium, as you know, or whether it was to provide additional financing to SMEs or providing additional financing to consumers. We were able to do so pretty much uninterrupted throughout the pandemic using digital means. To give you some examples, we went live in 2019 with Google Workplace, which is a collaborative suite of products that enabled us to collaborate work together between ourselves and our partners quite seamlessly. That obviously was very, very critical during the pandemic. On the customer front, we launched the digital, you know, you can do cashless transactions like you mentioned. You can do all sorts of transactions, so literally sitting from home or sitting from the office. During the pandemic, the inability to move around and visit, do customer visits or branch visits and so on, having that kind of digital capabilities was critical. We were the first bank in Malaysia to offer things like, we have a shopfront on Shopee. Just like you buy goods on Shopee, you can actually buy a banking product now. We launched that about a year and a half ago. So literally you go on Shopee just like you would buy any other products and you can buy a banking product. We launched things like Junior Connect for young kids to try the journey whilst you're at school on how to manage money, save, invest, and earn through the app, which is linked quite closely with the parents' banking app, that you can do tasks, then get paid for doing those tasks. Parents can monitor your saving and spending habits. So we try to instill good financial behavior from you know, the when you're a teenager in your schooling years. We also launched during the pandemic, which was quite fortunate. Bank Negara, as you know, issued EKYC guidelines back in June in June 2020, and we were within about 4 months, 4 or 5 months of the guidelines coming up. We launched a mobile app with the ability to do EKYC client onboarding without the need of visiting either anybody in person or visiting a branch. We're seeing good, very good traction, both through the EKYC channel to the junior app and through the Shopee application of customers availing themselves of banking products fully digitally. We launched things like, you know, during the pandemic, the whole thing was social distancing, don't touch things that you don't need to because of the transmission of the virus, right, through through touch. So we launched things like contactless payments through mobile phones. So even small lockers, you know, small small businesses were able to turn their mobile phone into a point of sale application, enabling them to either take wallet payments, debit card payments, or credit card payments. Again, you know, we have seen a significant increase in the number of transactions that have come through those applications. Internally, we moved, you know, all our HR systems, the way we process checks, we process payments, all of it is done through RPA, which is a robotic based applications. We've had split operations now for 2 years. We've had, you know, at its peak, we had about 75% of people working from home. And all of that has been relatively seamless because of the investments we have made in digital and, you know, technology applications over the last few years.
Dominic, HLB also introduced ESG considerations in its credit evaluations for your SMEs and also corporate clients. How do you set this strategy to play a key role in sustainability and at the same time, you know, to balance banks' position for credit lending? And what are the trends for Malaysia businesses when it comes to ESG, and what trends do you see will stick in the longer term?
Yeah, it's ESG is an extremely important topic, and I will put it in you know, parallel to the digitization and you know, the industrial 4.0 and so on, which economies and countries are going through. The whole consideration around climate is extremely important, so much so that you know, this week FinTech Week, led by Bank Negara, there is a fair amount of focus around both climate change, the risks and opportunity that presents for companies and economies, as well as the, you know, the social aspect and the governance aspect of ESG. You know, the pandemic has brought to the fore some of the infrastructure or critical issues we've had around social, which in the past maybe they've been tackled, you know, in a piecemeal way. The pandemic has brought forward some of those issues. So I think as companies, as countries, as governments and so on, there is a fair amount of issues we need to tackle to make sure that nobody's left behind. And that's true for digitization, which we talked about earlier. We need to ensure that everybody has access to financial services and services in general as we digitize economies. And similarly, as climate change, it is imperative that we bring forward your traditional businesses, as well as new businesses as they evolve. The banking system needs to play a critical part in ensuring that we transition from your traditional way of doing business to a more client resilient and climate resilient and ESG enabled businesses going forward. From our side, we launched this program a couple of years ago, but we intensified it over the last 18 months. About 18 months ago, we launched, as part of our credit underwriting, you know, that traditionally we look at cash flows, we look at collateral, years in business, you know, the traditional things we analyze when it comes to providing credit. As part of that analysis, we introduced the ESG considerations. So, for example, on the climate change, we ask customers what are they doing about mitigating some of the client-related issues. On the social aspect, we work with clients like, you know, foreign labor has been at the forefront of some companies in Malaysia over the last 2 years. So we ask clients what they're doing about it, what kind of policies they're putting in place, processes, and so on, to ensure that you know that they comply not only with laws. You know, you go beyond what is the legal requirement. We do the right thing. What is the right thing to do? So we work with clients. We come up with plans, and then there is a transition period. So we work closely with clients to ensure that those plans are credible, they are trackable, and they're executable. And then as we do reviews over the next 3 to 5 years, we want to see progress being made. So our approach is one of working with clients to make the transition as opposed to cutting credit, right? As you know, a lot of businesses, one thing they don't like is the chop and starting of policies, you know, making finance available today, it's gone tomorrow. They want to work in an environment where there is a high level of certainty. So our ESG approach has been one of providing that kind of certainty over the medium term, where the more polluting, you know, the companies that need to make the bigger transition, they're given the right level of support to be able to transition to do so. The help we provide is not just financial help. That's certainly, yeah, we're a bank. That's certainly a big part of what we do. But to give you some examples, we set up a panel to provide expertise, right, where we can demystify some of the things, if you like, that need to be done. We provide roundtable discussions with experts where we invite SMEs and MMEs to come and listen to companies that might have embarked on the journey a few years ago, so they can provide examples and they can provide assistance and so on, a sounding board as to what you might do, as what is the first step an SME should take, and so on and so forth. We have experts internally where they can provide the guidance on government policies, on other initiatives, and so on. So it's not just about financing; it's also about providing the, you know, the softer aspect of the transition that we need to make.
Dominic, we have about 2 minutes left. I want to talk about the HLB Launchpad. How has it been so far, and how has all the ideas been adapted?
Thank you for that. We launched that in 2017, so this year will be into its fifth year. The last one we did actually was in December 2021. We adapted it to be obviously, you know, all digital and remote. I would say it's been highly successful. During that period, we launched like HLB premises where you can come and collaborate with us. We have Jumpstart in the city. We have premises here in HLB head office, where we collaborate with people. We share ideas. We provide banking data so people can, you know, fintechs and so on can test their products and expand their value proposition. So we have helped a number of small fintech and startups to take their products to market. We do that in collaboration with Malaysia's Business Angel Network, MDEC, Credo, and Magic. And to give you some examples, over the last 4 years, we worked with people like Sales Candy, which was in our program in 2017. They've revamped the value proposition, the product suite, and so on. And now they're operating 5 major ASEAN countries. We worked with people like Capitan and BizStory, which provide HR and accounting solution to SMEs. And we have incorporated those services into our digital offering for SMEs.
Yeah.
We work with My Property and Urban Metri, which should provide data to be able to identify property hotspots. It provides us data to be able to do valuations and so on, mm-hmm. which makes the mortgage application process Yeah. significantly quicker than it used to be. You know, we used to do valuation where it takes 3 or 4 days. Now we do it in a matter of minutes by using the data provided by Urban Metri, for example.
Yeah.
We worked with Earth, which is an e-waste collector and recycling company. Again, around the environment, it's a startup. They have some great ideas on how to collect and recycle e-waste. So there was another one on the... Mm-hmm. on the panel right in 2021.
Yeah.
So it's been highly successful. It's a good platform for startups and fintechs to expand their product offerings.
All right, Dominic, thank you so much for sharing with us and spending time with us this morning. Pengarah Urusan dan Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Kumpulan Hong Leong Bank, Dominic Fuda, membincangkan tentang digitalisasi untuk Hong Leong Bank sendiri dan juga ESG yang diterapkan dalam penilaian pembiayaan dan sebagainya.